Thank you, Bob, for your welcome. Thanks to the band for leading the worship. As you've heard, my name's Andrew Palmer. My wife is back. She's down the front there. The rest of my boys are scattered around the building. They had no intention of going out until they heard that they could play with hammers and saws. So we'll wait and see what happens. As has already been mentioned, my wife and I run something called Upcot, which is a Christian youth charity that owns a large house in Minehead, where young people come from residential weeks, and we run a year-out program and other bits and pieces. And Paul is one of our trustees, and I see one or two other people lurking around that I recognise, and that's good. But this morning, we're here to look at God's Word, and the subject I've been given is God, the light for our path. So we're going to start in 1 John, if you've got a Bible, if you want to turn there. John chapter 5. I'm going to be jumping around a lot, so we'll sort of use this one as a place to start from, and if you can keep up, that's great. If not, don't worry too much. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." When I began to think about this sermon and preparing, this is a passage that I first was drawn to. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Sometimes when we start to think about, we want to think about God impacting our lives, we actually need to take a step back and think about God. For Christmas, we were given a book which had a whole set of pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope. And it's just been put together in a whole series of images and different comments about the images and comments from the Bible and different things. And the thing that impacted and struck me was just the sheer enormity of it all. I got stuck on the first page, 350 billion galaxies or something. And then it started to talk about light years and different things. And the more I thought, read through the book, the more I was struck by just the sheer scale of what they were talking about. And then I was thinking then about God and about how he encompasses all of that. I was looking out the window, I was standing in the back there, I was looking out at the sky this morning, which is beautiful. And just thinking that however far I can see, there is just so much more beyond that. And that God encompasses it. He delights in it. The pictures in that book are absolutely astounding. Just pictures of sheer beauty from way out in the universe. Stuff that we can never see with the naked eye. But God put it there. He knows it's there. He enjoys it. And we want to start with the fact that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Another verse says there is no shadow of turning. Everything about our God is pure. Everything about our God is perfect. Everything about our God is fully illuminating. There's nothing about him that has a shadow of darkness about it. In Genesis 1 we read that God created light. And then we read that two or three days later he created the sun and the moon. So there was light before there was ever a sun. I love that. I love the picture of the fact that God emanates light. If you turn to the end of Revelation, you find the same picture. Let me just read it to you. It says this. "The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp." When we get to heaven, there won't be any need for any other light than the presence of God. Because he is light. He will illuminate. He does illuminate. Let me just read a few other verses to you. Jesus, John 8:12 says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and lives in unapproachable light. 1 Peter 2, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Just want you to catch a glimpse of the fact that our God is the source of light. He is light. It says he dwells in unapproachable light. We're welcomed into his wonderful light. In the Psalms it says, in his light we see light. And just let that begin to sort of fill your thinking. When I started to dwell on this and to meditate on this, I got really, really excited about it. I got really excited about the fact there is nothing that occurs in my life that God can't shed illumination on. There is nothing in this world that needs to remain hidden in his presence. In the Psalms, David is writing and he says, where can I go? Where can I hide? Where can I get away from your presence? There's nowhere I can go because your light shines everywhere. Your understanding penetrates everything. Even in the womb, and that's where that verse about fearfully and wonderfully made comes in. Even there, you see everything and your light shines. God's ability to bring light, God's ability to bring illumination, God's ability to reveal and to open up and to just show you what's going on is without parallel. Sometimes when we think about light, we get limited by what we understand, don't we? So we think, you know, there's lights in this building, there's the sun outside. There's different things that we think about. My phone's got a little light on it. You know, and if I use that phone to go out at night and I'm trying to find my way, it's pretty much hard work. I've got about 3 feet of vision. If I turn on the car lights, got a bit more. You know, and so it increases. And so our comprehension of what light is restricted by our understanding. But the Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light. His light is so intense, so complete. And as we go on to look about how this affects us, what I want you to do is to remember this is the kind of light that God generates. A light for which there is no shadow, there is no darkness, there is nothing that is hidden. You know, I'm a photographer, I enjoy photography. And lighting is a pain. It's really difficult to light things well with artificial light. I much prefer to use the sun, I much prefer to use natural light. But it's not always possible, and sometimes you have to try and light things. And you put one light here, and it throws a shadow over there. So you put another light there, and you get two shadows. Then you put a light above it to try and get at that one, and the person's got a shadow here. And so it goes on. But God isn't like that. When God shines his light, there's no shadow. There's no shadow. So just allow it to expand your picture of our God. I love talking about God. I love talking about how great Jesus is, how incredible he is. And there was a famous book written a long time ago saying, your God is too small. And we owe it to ourselves to spend more time looking at God. Not just in our experience, but in the Word. Just build a bigger picture of the God that we worship. Be encouraged by the hugeness of his ability, by the depth of his love, by the unreachableness of his holiness and yet the accessibility that he's made given us through Jesus. You know, if we really got a glimpse of how great God is, if we really got an understanding, we would really, really change the way that we approach him. I can see a lot of mothers thinking, is that my child? Yeah, the father goes. We also see that God's word is referred to as light. Psalm 19:8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart, and the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Psalm 119:105, perhaps the most famous verse of the lot, says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Psalm 119:130 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Proverbs 6, for the commands, your commands are a lamp This teaching is a light, and the corrections of disciplines are the way to life. 2 Peter 1 says, "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you'll do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." I work with young people, and we were talking about the Word of God a couple of years ago on a summer week, and I said, "How often do you read your Bible?" Which is always a tricky question to ask young people. Tricky question to ask a lot of people, really. And they just sat there and stared at me. There was no intention of giving me an answer. And I said, "Well, because we're talking about, this is the subject we're talking about this morning, I can't actually go any further without some information." And the worst scenario was I hadn't picked it up for the whole year. The best was about once every 2 weeks, and the average was about once a month. And it's just been an increasing trend I've noticed over the last sort of 25 years, is that the Bible has become less important in people's lives, because we read less and we live in a culture where, well, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and the Bible's become one of the little bits. But as believers in Jesus, we really need to place not just a high priority, almost an absolute priority on the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's given to us that we might have life. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It divides. It reveals. It's the seed that God wants to sow in our life to produce what he wants to produce. And we have a responsibility about how we handle it. And these verses talk about it being a light for our path, a lamp for our feet. Peter says, it's like a light shining in a dark place. It brings revelation. It brings understanding. And when we don't understand something about God, the Bible has got to be the place we go. The Word of God has got to be the place we start to gain understanding. And we need to come to it with an understanding that it is truth. Now, when we shine a light on something and we can see something of what we can see, it gives us understanding. It gives us a clarity. When I go out of our back door, because the house is quite big, the boilers are outside and so are the controllers. And at night, I have to go out and sometimes fiddle with the heating. And it's a pretty torturous little path. Generally, there's go-karts, bikes, scooters, bins, and anything else my boys have decided to leave in the way, along with the odd badger and red deer, occasionally. And there I am with my torch and the little light, and I'm finding my way along. And it gives me a certain amount of illumination that enables me to see the way. And I can trust what I can see, because that's what we do with light. We trust light. Don't know if you think about it that way, but when you're driving in your car, you trust light. You trust that what your headlights are showing you is reality. You trust it. And we need to come to the Word of God with a much greater sense of trust than that. That when it reveals something, when it says this is the way it is the way it is. And I would encourage you, you know, yesterday I was here in this building with a group of people from Upcott with Paul, and we were talking about the parable of the sower. And we were talking about sowing the Word of God in our lives. And we were talking about getting it into us, taking hold of it, letting it produce fruit, dealing with the rubbish and letting it bring forth what God had intended. And that's, I just want to encourage you, God's Word is essential. You know, this might be something you're just thinking, yes, I know. But it never hurts to hear it again. God's Word is essential. You need it. You know, in my life, I don't know where I'd be without the Bible. When I was a young Christian, I used to think it was all about the Holy Spirit. It was all about God speaking to me in a moment. It was all about what are we going to do next, Lord. And there's a truth in that. But now as I've gone on with God, I would prefer, I'd prefer to receive the truth from his word and get that established in my life. Get that working. See it produce fruit. Because I know that that is where reality is. That's where real truth is. And so I just want to encourage you. Just read Psalm 119 again. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. So we have these two things. We have God is light. We have his word that sheds light on where we're going and what we're doing. So what does that mean for us? How does that affect us? Well, I suggest it affects us in several different ways. In Proverbs 4, it says this, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of wicked, or the wicked, is deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. I've got a question for you this morning. How do you see yourself? You know, do you see yourself as someone who is stumbling in the dark? You're trying to find God, you're trying to pursue him, you're trying to find out what he wants for your life. Or do you see yourself as someone who's walking in the light? I really like the thing that Bob did at the beginning. You know, are you holy? Do you see yourself as holy? Do you see yourself as righteous? Let me just read some verses about light. We could do the same thing. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians, you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. Sorry, I've lost where I am now. No, I've lost what I was looking for. Never mind. Let me just read that first one again. Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Jesus says, we have been brought into the light. We have been brought into the kingdom of light. We have been brought into a place where we have access to the light. And I would suggest that changes the way that we live. Instead of stumbling in the dark and trying to find out what God's will is for our life, instead of trying to pursue God through a maze of uncertainty, like what does God really want, actually we need to change our thinking around. We need to change our understanding around and say, actually, no. God says, I am in the light. I'm a child of the light. You're all sons of the light and sons of the day. You were once darkness, but now you are light. In 2 Corinthians 6:6 it says, what fellowship can light have with darkness? Saying that you are light. And if that's true, it should change the way that we approach living for God. So instead of it becoming, instead of it being a struggle, it should become a joy. Instead of it being uncertainty, there should be a certainty about it. You know, when you are at work on a during the week and you're trying to work out how you live for God in that situation, there should be actually a certainty about living for God, because he says that he's brought us into his light. In his light we see light. So that means, therefore, instead of us struggling and trying to find out where to go, we should live from a different perspective. Just going back to the holiness thing, you know, if you start to see yourself as holy, it changes the way you approach things. If you see yourself as righteous, it changes the way that you look at yourself. If you see yourself as loved by God, it changes how you value yourself. If you see yourself as light, it changes how you approach darkness. Because let me finish all of those verses I started. Ephesians 5:8 carries on and says this, live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but rather that everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. 1 John 1:6 says, if we claim we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. 1 Thessalonians 5, finishing off the sons of light quote, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But because we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and a hope of salvation as a helmet. You see, being children of light, being people who have been born into God's light, brings with it responsibility. It brings with it the responsibility not to live in the darkness. And John is pretty blunt. John's pretty blunt about a lot of things. But he says this: anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He doesn't know where he's going because darkness has blinded him. You see, we have a choice in the way that we live. We can choose to walk towards Jesus, or we can choose to walk away from him. When we're walking to him, we're walking in the light. But when we walk away, we're choosing to stumble. We're choosing to walk in darkness. And so many people who claim to love Jesus spend an awful lot of time stumbling. And John is very blunt. He says, if you claim to be in the light but you hate your brother, you lie and you're not living by the truth. And the truth is not in you. So there's some pretty simple truths here. If we want to remain in a place that God wants us, we make a choice when we're confronted with things. You know, when someone offends you, someone hurts you, what do you do about it? Do you harbour resentment? Do you hold on to it? Do you let it fester away on the inside? If you do, you're effectively saying, I'm choosing darkness. It's not my words, it's John's. Instead he says, just walk in forgiveness. If you walk in forgiveness, there is nothing in you to make you stumble. And that's just such a simple example. Every day we'll have a chance to implement that verse. I can guarantee there'll be somebody who can offend you pretty much every day. There'll be something that can happen where you have an opportunity to respond by heading towards Jesus or away from Jesus in that situation. In 2 Corinthians 6 he says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? You know, we all have choices. Day by day we have choices that we make. And we want God to illuminate our path. We want to be clear about where we're going with God. But it's the little choices that we make that make it easier to receive that illumination or not. And every day we have choices where we either put ourselves towards the world or away from the world. You know, when James is talking about the world, he talks about it in a sense where, you know, he's not talking about hating the world as in, I hate trees. He's not talking about the world in that sense. He's talking about it in terms of the system of this world. You know, do you love God? Do you love the world? And we have a choice. I keep coming back to this word choice, don't I? But it's true. During our normal waking day, we have lots of choices we make. When you walk out of here, you have choices you're going to make. You've got choices right now. You're thinking, is he boring? Is he interesting? Am I interested in what I'm saying? Has he offended me? What's for dinner? Right? What's on this afternoon? Do I want to see Ipswich beat Chelsea? Yes. Right? All sorts of thoughts could be going through your head. And we constantly have choices about where we take our minds, where we go. And if we want to walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have to make some choices. Yes, God is light. Yes, his word brings illumination. Yes, we've been brought into the kingdom of light, into his wonderful light. But to stay in the place where we receive the benefit of that, we have to make wise choices about how we live. In the same way, we are the righteousness of God, but I can guarantee if you live in a place of consistent choices of sin every day, you're not going to feel like it. We're loved by God, but if you don't invest any time in your relationship with him, you're not going to feel loved. You're not going to experience that love. In the same way, God wants to illuminate your path. He wants to make it clear the path that you walk in. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, "This is the way, walk in it." And you'll hear a voice saying, "Don't go that way, don't go that way, keep this way." But if you want to hear God's voice, if you want to be clear of the path He's calling you to walk in, we have choices to make. The great news is, God has provided everything that's necessary. The path is clear. He wants to illuminate it. He wants to say, "Come into my light. Come into what I've provided for you. Walk in this way." But it's our choice. I heard a great sermon once where a bloke said, "You know, many Christians assume that the traffic lights are red and they're waiting for God to turn it to green. But the good news is it's green. And all you need is to go and to walk in the way that He's got for you." And that's the place we find ourselves in. Consistently needing to walk in the way that God's got for us. I think I'm pretty much done. I'm not quite sure how long I was supposed to speak for. No, you haven't any idea either, so that's all right. Let me just finish with this thought. You are children of the light. That's what it says in the Word of God. But you have a responsibility to live like one.